Hey, is anyone watching the Seahawks game today? How many of you think the Seahawks are going to make it to the Super Bowl next week? How many of you just don't care? Like, so many people are football people, and then there's other people who are just like, they care about football zero. And maybe next week at the Super Bowl, you're like, oh, I'm going to be there, but it's going to be for the food. Anyone? It's just for the food? How many of you are like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be there, but it's not going to be for the game. It's for the commercials. Like, those commercials, they get me going, right? Okay, speaking of commercials, did you know that U.S. advertisers, just in the U.S., last year, 2025, spent $491 billion on advertising. Why do they spend so much money on advertising? Because we give them more money back. Isn't that true? And I want to make a point that advertisers are not just selling a product. They are selling a vision. They're selling a picture of a preferred future for you or for me. So a medical company is advertising the medicine that's going to help you get over this thing, and they're showing you a picture of your preferred future. The makeup company is showing you what you could like if you could look like if you use their makeup. It's a picture of your preferred future. A food company, a car company, they're all showing us visions, a picture of our preferred future, and we are buying it. We're buying it. That's why they're spending so much money. But just as much as those things will give you a vision of your future and say, you'll be better with this car, you'll be better with this makeup, your life will be better with this or that, there's actually someone who has a vision for your life. His name is Jesus, and his vision for your life is so much better than the advertiser's vision for your life, your parents' vision for your life, or your own vision for your life. Who in the room believes that today? That God's vision for your life is so much better than your own or than anyone else's. And so God has this vision for your life, and that's what I want to give you today, is this picture of a vision for your life, what God is calling you to. Proverbs 29:18 tells us what happens when we don't have God's vision for our life. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed, on the other hand, blessed is the one, happy is the one who keeps the law. What they're saying is that without God's vision, you and I go our own way. We cast off restraint. We do whatever we want. And in the end, our own way leads to death. It leads to destruction. It leads to failure. But Jesus told us the good way. It's following him. In fact, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he invites us to follow him, to embody his vision for our life, to live into this fullness that he's promised for you and for me. God's vision is good, and it's for you and me as we follow him in obedience to his commandments, as we live out this vision with others. We are gifted with this vision, but not all of us live into it. God also has a vision for our church, friends, a picture of our preferred future. And in this series in January, we've been talking about this vision. It's in 10 years. See 10,000 people go from lost to found to maturing followers of Jesus. This is God's preferred future for us. It's a picture of what he wants for you and for me. And we said, if we want to help people go from lost to found and maturing follower, what does it look like? If someone's going to go from lost to found, it means that they make a commitment to Jesus. They make a yes decision to follow Jesus for the rest of their life, that they get baptized, and then they get connected to the people of God so that they could be part of who God has made them to be in a community of God. That's moving from lost to found, but then found to maturing follower, what does that look like? It looks like gathering each week to worship, learn, and love others, growing a daily relationship with Jesus through prayer, Bible, and journal, getting in a group for spiritual growth and encouragement, giving your life away in service and generosity, being filled by the Holy Spirit, and being on mission to help people find and follow Jesus. Now, that sounds like a lot to remember. You don't have to remember it, because I'm going to keep saying it until you're sick of it, all right? You'll be like, can you please stop? You'll get it. I'll keep saying it. That's what it means to help 10,000 people go from lost to found and maturing followers. And how do we accomplish this? The answer is one at a time. Turn to your neighbor and say, one at a time. Turn to your other neighbor and make sure they got it. Say, one at a time. How do we help 10,000 people? It's a big vision. We help them one at a time. One friend, one family member, one coworker, one neighbor, one person at a time. One disciple at a time, one leader at a time, one church plant at a time is how we accomplish this vision. So I want to bring Chris to the stage because Chris has been helping people find and follow Jesus. He's been doing Find, Tell, Bring. And I want you to, would you welcome Chris to the stage? I want you to hear the heart of what Chris is doing and how God is using Chris to help people find and follow Jesus. So Chris, first, how long have you been at Life Center?
I came to Life Center back in April, so less than a year.
Okay, so you're fresh. I love it.
Very fresh.
Come on. And then how many people are currently coming to Life Center because you've invited them?
Currently coming, it's hard to say. I invite people kind of all the time since I've been coming to Life Center. I'm in a really good place in my life where I'm really open to everything that is happening to me with God. And so I just kind of talk about Life Center all the time. So probably, I think, at least 15 or 20 people that come regularly. And I forget because they come. I just say, come to Life Center, and then they sit with me, and then they kind of go out and make friends and do their own thing. And then I'll see them a couple of weeks later, and, you know, they're back. So, yeah, it's fun.
So less than a year, and already 15 or 20 people are here at Life Center because you've been invited. Is anyone else inspired? But come on, that's amazing, Chris. So would you tell us the story of Mel and how you invited her and what God's been doing in her life?
Sure. So Mel is one of my dearest friends that I've met since I've been in Spokane. We just connected right from the get-go. I'm very people-oriented. I love people. I love everyone's story. I have an intentional way of going about meeting people. And when I met Mel, she was very, I call her my magnet. She just sort of attracts everybody. So when I was looking to come to Life Center, she was looking for a church at the same time. And I said, why don't you come to Life Center? So she did. She got involved. We've been kind of doing our own thing with work and relationships and friends and stuff. And she texted me one day and she said, I'm going to get baptized. And I said, oh, that's great. And so she got baptized here, which was incredible.
Come on.
And the whole experience for me, having been baptized when I was younger, I got baptized actually with my son. But being able to be a part of it, not just from watching it, which is truly incredible, but being a friend or family member or actually somebody that is baptized here. And then getting to talk to her about it was just, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just another step in this just awesome process that is Life Center and is my walk with God. So
cool. So God used you to bring Mel, and then Mel got baptized. She's connected.
And she's like doing the same thing.
She's connected. She doesn't need you. Sorry, she doesn't need you.
No.
But because she's got us, right?
Yeah.
And so, I you've been inviting people like crazy. You've been here less than a year. Why do you keep inviting people?
I heard this quote years ago, and it's not biblical, but it makes sense to me, which is the two most important days in your life are the day that you were born and the day you figured out why. And my coming to Spokane and everything that's been happening since I've come to Spokane, including Life Center, including meeting you, has been just this incredible God wink is what I call it. And so I don't go out and preach and tell people. I just tell people what's on my heart and what I'm learning and what I think about with my ever-growing relationship with God. And that includes Life Center, and it includes what's happening here. And so this is just another piece of it, which I really was a little nervous about, but it's great to stand up here and tell that because that's my journey. And so I'm just going to continue to keep inviting people because I love coming to this church and I love what God is doing inside of me.
Awesome. It's who God has made you to be, right?
Yes.
It's a purpose that he's given you. Man, can we thank
one
Chris?
At a time.
One at a time. That's right, baby. One at a time. Love you.
Love you, too.
At the 9 o'clock, I asked him, how many people have you invited? So 15 or 20 are coming. I said, how many people have you invited since you started coming? He said, I don't know, over 100 easily. And I'm like, my goodness, this guy's going to accomplish the vision himself. Like, what an animal. What I hope you see is that Chris is just being who God made him to be. He's just naturally sharing what God is teaching him, what God's doing in his life, and then he's inviting people to come with him. He's just doing fine, tell, bring. I see a disciple maker in Chris. Do you know what I see when I look across this room? Beauty, yes, is one answer. All of you, so, so beautiful. I see disciples, but I also see disciple makers. I see people who are called by God to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything he's commanded us. And I see people whom God is with to the very end of the age, that he has empowered you. His Spirit is in you and on you to help you accomplish this purpose that he has made you for, to make other disciples. You may be saying, well, what does it mean to make a disciple? What is a disciple? Let me give you a really clear definition. If you're supposed to be a disciple maker, here's what a disciple is. A disciple is a learner. The Greek word mathetes, which we get disciple from, just means learner. A disciple is a learner, an apprentice, one who is becoming like the master. So when Jesus invited people to be his disciples, he's inviting them to be learners, to be under him, to be his apprentices, to imitate him. So disciples didn't just learn from abstract instruction alone. Disciples learn from the embodied example of their masters. So they see the master do something and then they do it too. And you and I are called to follow Jesus in the same way. We're called to look at Jesus and imitate what he's doing. And if you're like, well, how do I look at Jesus when he's not physically here? We can see him in the word and we can see him in each other. And we get to look at the example that other believers set for us, who are younger, who are older, who are the same age as us. We look at the example of them as they follow Jesus and we say, if they're doing it, I can do it too. This is what Jesus has called us to be as disciple makers. And it happens through imitation. In fact, I'm so convinced about this because of the word of God that I want you to see in so many different places throughout the New Testament how discipleship, really, if you boil it down, it's imitation. It's imitating others who are imitating Christ. And I want to show you it. I'm going to show you 8 different verses, 7 right now, and then a bonus verse at the end, and then 3 points that are going to show you, convince you that discipleship really, it's imitation. So if you want to grab your Bibles, you're welcome to, but I'm going to go through 7 different verses. Good luck following me. You can also see on the screens, but you're welcome to follow along in your own Bible. We're going to be starting in 1 Corinthians 11:1. 1 Corinthians 11:1, where Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So Paul really simply just says, hey, I'm following Jesus. If you want to know what it looks like to follow Jesus, just follow my example. Just do what I'm doing. As I look at Jesus and what he did, I'm doing that. And then you can look at me and what I'm doing, and you can do that. Just follow my example. Now, I believe that God has called each and every one of us to say the same thing that Paul says. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And you may be saying, like, well, it's easy for Paul the apostle to say, right? He wrote half the New Testament. Maybe you're like, it's easy for you, Pastor Michael, to say. You're a pastor. You spend your whole day doing all this stuff. Maybe if I said, hey, how many of you right now were to look at your neighbor and say, follow me as I follow Christ? How many of you would go, that doesn't sound very fun? Like, I'm a little bit scared to say, follow me as I follow Christ, because I'm not perfect. I'm not doing all the right things. I know that my example is not the perfect example. So I don't want to say, follow me as I follow Christ. Maybe this meme expresses how you feel. Can you see this picture? It's Jesus, he's this big battleship, and it's Paul, he's a yacht, and then it's you and me. It's like, we're not even a boat. Like, I don't even feel like I should be in this. I'm a fake, right? It's so easy to feel that way when we think about this. Follow me as I follow Christ. But friends, Paul was not saying that he is perfect. In fact, he said in the New Testament that he is the chief of sinners. Paul's not perfect, so he's not implying that you have to be perfect to be an example. He's just saying, I'm going in the right direction. And if you want to go in the right direction too, you can follow me. Being an example, let me say this clearly. Being an example to others as a follower of Jesus is not about perfection. It's about going in the right direction. It's not about you being perfect. It's about you going in the right direction. So 1 Corinthians 4:16, here's the second verse. And just earlier in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, therefore, I urge you to imitate me. So Paul is not just politely suggesting that they imitate him. He urges them to imitate him. Why? Because discipleship is not just about acquiring information, friends. It's not just about sitting here on a Sunday and getting teaching from the word. Discipleship is about transformation through imitation. It's transformation through imitation. It's seeing an example and imitating that example to be more like Christ. So therefore, Paul says, I urge you to imitate me. 2 Thessalonians 3:7, Paul says this, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. You ought to follow our example, and you know it, says Paul. How many of you you've known the right thing to do, and you still didn't do it? Right? I've been there before, too. I knew the right thing. I've even seen the right examples, and I did not do it. Paul tells these people, he says, hey, you know you ought to, and maybe sometimes you don't, but you should follow our example. Why? Because discipleship is imitation, friends. Hebrews 6:12, the author of Hebrews says this, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Paul makes a very clear distinction. If you are not imitating the faith of others, then you are probably being lazy in your own faith. No imitation is the same thing as laziness. Friends, our faith falters when we fail to put effort into it. And so Paul says, instead of faltering in your faith because you're lazy and you're not imitating those who are pursuing God with a passion, he says, imitate those with intensity who continue to hold on to their faith no matter what comes. Now, I'm going to make a really broad generalization, and it's going to be unfair for a ton of different people, but this broad generalization is about American Christianity, about American Christians. And if I could brush stroke us about our fault, one of our major faults, it would be that American Christians are lazy, that we are casual, that we are comfortable in our faith. And why do I make this assessment? It's because I can compare American Christians to Christians around the world, and the difference becomes very stark. If you compare us to, say, some underground Christians in China, then you could see that we, yes, sometimes we, me, are lazy in our faith. Just this last week in China, 8 members of the Early Rain Church were arrested just for being part of the church. So Early Rain is an unregistered church in China, meaning that they're considered disobedient to the Communist Party. Anyone who goes to that church or the churches they've planted are in danger of persecution and imprisonment. And so the Communist government in China last week arrested the pastor, some of his family, and multiple of the members of that church to scare those Christians. And the church released a statement to its members and said this. It said, hold fast to the faith, love one another, and remain united amid persecution. Friends, They are going to church at danger of persecution and imprisonment. I wonder how many of us would be here today if we were in danger of persecution or imprisonment for showing up. I wonder if I and you have gotten casual, have gotten comfortable, have gotten even lazy in our faith, and have started to just relax and not press forward into the presence of God, desiring him more than anything else. Friends, Paul says, do not grow lazy in your faith. Instead, imitate those who through faith press forward to the promise at the end. This is what we're called to do, is imitate people who are holding fast to the faith that we can look at and say, I want to be more like them. 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul says to Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Paul is telling Timothy, his protege, his Padawan, if you will, he's saying, hey, you may be young, but you can still set the example for the church that you're leading, for the people who are older than you, because imitation is not about physical maturity, it's about spiritual maturity. So you can imitate someone who is more mature in the faith than you, even though they're younger than you, says Paul. Now listen, these are just some of the verses, but 1 John 2:6, 1 Peter 2:21, 3 John 11, Philippians 4:9, Ephesians 5:1 are some of the other verses that talk about discipleship as imitation. That we are all called to be an example and that we are called to follow an example as we follow Jesus. I think you get the point by now, or should I keep going? I'll keep going with the sermon, but I'll let up on the verses, okay? Here's what we see. To see 10,000 people go from lost to found to maturing followers, we, you and I, need to be able to tell those people in the coming 10 years, follow me as I follow Christ. There is no other way that we make 10,000 disciples except for you and I being comfortable, willing to get uncomfortable and say, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm not perfect, but I'm going in the right direction. I may fall, but I'm gonna get back up again. I may turn the wrong way, but I'm gonna repent and turn back to Jesus. Follow me as I follow Christ is the only way for us to accomplish this vision. So I'm gonna give you the seventh verse, and then the bonus one is a little bit later. Here's the seventh verse, Philippians 3:17. Paul tells the Philippians, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Paul says, hey, follow his example together. Turn to your neighbor and just say, together. One more time, turn to the other one and say, together. We're called to do this together. We say Christianity is a team sport. We are better together. Have you ever heard the phrase, birds of a feather flock together, right? Like you get around the people that you're like, but also you become like the people you hang out with. And so we're called to be together, to do this together, to become more like each other as we become more like Christ together. The key word is together. We're called to follow Jesus. Secondly, Paul says, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So he says, imitate those who walk in faith, imitate those who live rightly, which means that imitation is not blind allegiance. It's not just me saying, I'm gonna follow this person wherever they go. It's saying, I'm gonna follow the standards of Jesus as I see them exemplified in this person. And so what does it mean to follow Jesus together? I want to unpack that in this first point. So point number one is this. This is how we follow Jesus. This is how we follow Jesus. If you're wondering, how do I follow Jesus? This is how we do it here at Life Center. If someone were to ask you, hey, how do I follow Jesus? Could you point them to evidence in your life for how to follow Jesus? Here's how I follow Jesus. You can follow Jesus with me. We can do this together. I hope that all of you could point to different things that you do to follow Jesus, to draw near to him, that you could tell this person, here's how we follow Jesus. Around here, we follow Jesus together, not for uniformity, but for unity in Christ, so that we can become like him together, as Paul encourages us to. And we are following the example of Christians who have gone before us. For 2,000 years, Christians have done these four formative practices and others to become more like Jesus, to follow the example of Christ as we follow the examples of those who have gone before us. So what are these four central practices that ancient Christians have practiced for over 2,000 years? They're the four G's: gather, grow, groups, and give. So let me give them to you. Here they are. Gather each week to worship, learn, and love each other. This is what God has called us to do. Gather each week to worship, learn, and love other. Grow a daily relationship with Jesus through prayer, Bible, and journal. That's why we give those free journals out. If you don't have one, grab one so you can grow a daily relationship with Jesus through prayer, Bible, and journal. The next is get into a group for spiritual growth and encouragement. Again, we are better together, friends. And then finally, give your life away in service and generosity, just like Jesus himself did. Now, some of you may be hearing these four G's and you're like, I've heard these so many times. Could they start preaching about something else in this church? You're like, man, I've heard these G's over and over and over again, and maybe you are doing them, and I'm so proud of you for doing them, and you're wondering, could you just preach something else? Can I share with you why we preach the four G's over and over and over again? It's because there are so many people in this church who could still grow closer to Jesus by doing these four G's. Let me share with you some stats to sort of pull back the curtain and show you why we keep saying it, because not everyone is doing it yet. We say gather each week to worship, learn, and love each other. But did you know that the average Christian comes to church 1.6 times a month? So that's like maybe once, maybe twice a month. Did y'all know that we actually do this every Sunday? Yes. Like we're here every Sunday, and you could be too. Why? Because God is forming us together. In his presence, in his praise, through his word, he is shaping his people. That's why we come every single week. And I want you to be here so that you don't miss out on what God is doing. We say grow a daily relationship with Jesus through prayer, Bible, and journal, because every single day the word of God is waiting for you to open it so that God could speak to you, so he could fill you with his love and life. And yet the average committed Christian in the U.S., the average committed Christian reads only 2 times a week from their Bible. Now, if you're reading 2 times a week, I'm so excited for you, and I'm so glad that you're doing that, but you are still missing out on those other 5 days of the week where God could be speaking to you if you would just open up the Bible and listen. Listen to this. The Center for Bible Engagement did a study recently where they followed 100,000 people over 8 years, and they discovered what is the single most powerful predictor for spiritual growth in a person's life. What's the one thing that will shape someone so that they grow more than anything else? This study from the Center of Bible Engagement found that the one thing that's going to catapult your spiritual growth is reading the Bible at least 4 days a week. At 4 days a week, your spiritual growth skyrockets. At 4 days a week, anxiety, depression, and loneliness plummet in your life. At 4 days a week, God starts doing incredible things. Why is four? Why is that the magic number? I just think it's the majority of the days in your week. Like the majority of days, you're getting up or you're going to sleep, you've spent your day saying, I'm gonna hear from God today. And when you would give God the majority of your days in a week, God's gonna do something powerful in your life. And so why do we keep preaching, grow a daily relationship with Jesus every single day through prayer, Bible, and journal? Because God is waiting to speak to you. And friends, your life will be changed when you open it up and read. Your life will be changed when you listen to what God is saying to you. We say, hey, get in a group for spiritual growth and encouragement. And I'm so proud of the 1,400 people who are in groups here at Life Center. Raise your hand if you're in a group. Come on, look at all those people in groups. Hey, should all those other people get into a group? And the church said, yeah, amen. You should get into a group. But listen, 1,400 people in groups, that's a lot. But 6,500 people consider Life Center their home church. And so you think 1,400 people, that is not even close to a majority of the people in our church are part of a group. I'm saying this to say, we want you. We need you. You're part of this. And we want you to be part of a group where you can experience spiritual growth and encouragement for your walk with Jesus. We do this together. We say, hey, give your life away in service and generosity. And we've got some amazing people who are incredibly generous with their time and with their money. When we look at people who are serving here at Life Center and in our community, there's some 1,600 people who served last year, which is amazing, but that's still only about 25% of our church who's giving their life away in service. When we think about giving our lives away in generosity, we have 936 people who give to God here at Life Center. When you think 6,500 consider this their home church, that means only 14% of people are being generous to God here at Life Center to help partner in the mission, to help people find and follow Jesus. I just say this as an invitation to say there is more for you. So why do I keep preaching the 4 G's? Why do I keep getting up here and saying gather, grow, groups, and give? Because I want something for you, friend. Like the word pastor, it means shepherd. What kind of shepherd would I be if I looked at 3/4 of a flock and said, they're not getting water? Sucks to be them. Like to be a good shepherd, you lead the whole flock to the water. And to be a good shepherd of this church, my job is to not just lead 1/4 of you into gather, grow, groups, and give. My job is to lead all of you into gather, grow, groups, and give so that you could experience the more of God that is waiting for you in those things. So why does all of this matter? I just said it. It's because Jesus came to give you life to the full, friend. And you experience life to the full when you walk with Jesus, when you imitate those who are imitating him, you experience life to the full. It's not perfect. You still have problems, but it's life to the full because it's life with Jesus. And that's what he invites us to as we follow him together. I want to give you point number two. Point number two is a question. So is point number three. Point number two is, who am I imitating? If discipleship is imitation, then we need to ask, who am I imitating? People who know my dad really well, when they meet me and they see our mannerisms and the way that we speak and even the things that we say, they're like, man, you are just like your dad. I'm like, heard that 1,000 times. But we do weird things. Like both of us, like sometimes we scratch our left ear with our right hand like this. Like, why do we do that? I don't know. But like, you imitate the people you're around most, right? So he did it, so I start doing it. We all imitate somebody. In fact, we all imitate multiple somebodies. We imitate the people we are around the most. You can imitate parents, you can imitate friends, you can imitate your kids, you can imitate all sorts of people, but we are called as Christians to imitate those who are imitating Christ. So who are you imitating? Hebrews 13:7 says this, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. What the author of Hebrews is saying is, look at the people who taught you. Look at the people who helped you get closer to Jesus, a parent, a grandparent, a friend, a sibling. Look at those people, consider the outcome of their way of life, and then imitate their faith. What this means is that you can imitate those who have helped you. Again, a parent, a friend, a group member, not just one person, but it's multiple people that you and I ought to imitate as we look at their example and do what they're doing. So let me give you a few examples of this in my own life. I recently became friends with JM, and JM is passionate passionate about the Word of God. Like, he has to get Bibles every 6 months because he goes through his Bibles, highlights them up so much that they become unusable after 6 months. Like, JM loves the Word of God. And when I started hanging out with him, I realized his passion for God's Word is brighter and hotter than mine. And that made me go, I want to imitate his faith. I want to imitate that passion for God's Word. I think about my parents, who are incredibly open-armed and welcoming, even to strangers. So like at Christmas time last year, not this last Christmas, but the Christmas before, we showed up to Christmas and there were just like random people at our family Christmas morning, right? At my parents' house. Why? Because my parents welcomed them in. They said, hey, come to Christmas morning with our family. I want to imitate that sort of opened arm welcome that my parents model. I think about my friend and mentor, Bobby Moore, who has eyes for people who are hurting and he cares for them. So like I would be with Bobby all the time and we would be at a coffee shop having a meeting and then we'd be late for the next meeting. So we'd be like, Bobby, we got to go. And as we're walking out the door, he sees somebody. He's like, hey, how are you? Total stranger. Hey, how are you doing? And then the person, of course, is like, I'm actually not doing well. And I'm like, here we go, because Bobby's going to pray for them. And then we're going to be even more late for them. Meeting, like, Bobby, we need to go. But I learned from Bobby, care for the hurting. Look for those, even if they're strangers, and stop for them if they're broken and hurting. Those are people I'm learning from, and that's just a few. I'm imitating many people in my life because they're imitating Christ. So I want you to take a moment right now on your outline or on your phone. I want you to answer a couple questions by writing down some simple answers. The first question is this: whose example can you imitate? Whose example can you imitate? When you think about someone in your life and you consider the outcome of their way of life, you say, I want to imitate their faith. Write down a name of somebody you can imitate. Once you've got that, I want you to write down, what's the thing you're going to imitate? Like, what is it that they do that you're going to do? Write that down. Maybe it's a passion for God's Word. You want to grow your relationship with Jesus each and every day through PBJ. Maybe it's sharing your faith. You see them share their faith and you want to share your faith. What's the thing you're going to do? Write that down. And then here's the last thing. Write down when you're going to start. When are you going to start? And the right answer is not next January, okay? The right answer is today. Start today imitating their faith. Because discipleship, friends, is imitation. And we're all called to model our lives after people who are modeling their lives after Jesus. Here's point number three, the last one. We're coming in for a landing. Who is imitating me? Who is imitating me? You know, whether we like it or not, we're all being imitated. Somebody is imitating each and every one of us. Have you ever done something and hope, like, I hope nobody saw that? Yes. Right? Like, we've all done things where we're like, I hope nobody imitates this. Like, we've, as parents, maybe you've done something, you're like, oh, Lord Jesus, please help my kids to forget that because that was terrible. I don't want them to imitate that. Right? Like, we've all done those things. But God calls us to be an example so that others could imitate us, so that others could look at our lives and say, I want to be like them. I want to have that sort of faith. I want to do what they are doing. So let me just make it really practical for you. My buddies ride mountain bikes together. And so Michael and Jordan, it's Michael Jordan, I get it. Like, right, there's a funny joke there. But Michael and Jordan hang out. They ride mountain bikes together. And Michael is a very skilled mountain biker. And so Jordan always wants Michael to go first, because then Jordan can follow Michael down the trail and see the lines that he's taking, see how he leans, see what angles he takes to get down the trail smoothly so he can imitate Michael. And in the same way, each and every one of us are going down the path of life and somebody's following behind us and they're watching the way that we take the corners and the speed that we take and when we break in life, and they're saying, I guess I'm following the person in front of me. Somebody is imitating you. So be an example worthy of imitating. Be an example worthy of imitating. Again, this is not about perfection, friends. We are all gonna fail. We are all gonna falter. This is about heading in the right direction. Head in the right direction with everything that you are. You're gonna fall, you're gonna falter, but get back up and keep going. Be an example worthy of imitating. To model this to you, I wanna invite my friends, Aaron and Michael, to come on out. Another Michael, different Michael, but come on out on the stage, you guys. Would you welcome Aaron and Michael? These two are incredible. Aaron started a group several years ago. Michael joined in that group. And then after a couple years of being in that group, Michael, you started your own group. And so you learned from Aaron, you're imitating Aaron. But Aaron, let me just ask you, like, was it complicated being an example to Michael?
Well, if I'm honest, I didn't set out to be an example for Michael. And so, no, it wasn't complicated because I wasn't really thinking that's what I was doing.
You just weren't trying, yeah.
But I was trying to be faithful to what I was reading in the Bible and to what I saw others doing. So I was imitating as well. And it turns out, you know, people actually are watching you. So... It's actually kind of funny because the question you just asked, one of my friends actually said, I wrote your name down before you even walked out on stage. So wow. I was like, oh, there's even more people. But it's not complicated, I wouldn't say. Just trying to be faithful.
I love that. Key word, just being faithful. Just doing what God has called you to. That's amazing. So Michael, what did you learn from Aaron as you've launched out leading your own group? What have you garnered from him as you learned from him?
Well, I came up with 7 ideas, and then during the sermon, I came up with an 8th, which is a bonus. So hang on. We're going to circle around a little bit longer. Now, what I learned from Aaron, because Aaron's not perfect, but he is very real. And I learned about the power of transparency and authenticity and just how that creates the kind of dynamic that enables people to be able to open up and grow in a group setting.
So that transparency that you modeled is something that you picked up on, and now you're giving that to the people that are leading, that are following you. I love that. So Aaron, like, if you were to give a word or an encouragement to people who are gonna be an example to others, because we're all called to be an example, what encouragement would you give all of us?
Well, I think the for my own life, the reasons why I can be authentic is I spend every day reading the Bible. And as I read more of the Bible, the Holy Spirit changes my heart more and more every day. So if you're gonna set out to be an example, and again, that wasn't necessarily my intention, but obviously that's happening, read your Bible every day and pray. Every day, it's the Holy Spirit will change your heart, and you will be someone worth following. I promise.
That's so good. Okay, so Michael, we're all gonna imitate somebody. So, give a word of encouragement for those of us who are imitating others.
Well, you mentioned it earlier. You alluded to John 14:6. Jesus said, "I've come to give you life, and life to the full." And that does not come. It does not happen by just ducking in and ducking out on a Sunday. You need to get plugged in to a group. That is where you're gonna grow. And it's not an option to grow. We are all called to do that. And we all need to be imitation worthy because people are watching. They are looking at our lives. And so that would be my encouragement. Find a group, get plugged in, start growing, and watch what God does.
Man, can we thank Michael and Aaron? Thank you guys for sharing your story with us. You know what? I didn't even pay them to plug groups or to read your Bible. Like, I didn't pay them for that, all right? They just said that of their own volition. But you heard it, didn't you? You heard it. Be faithful. Be an example worth imitating. Just do what God has called you to and watch you'll experience life to the full. Friend, why does this matter? Why are we talking about this? Again, it's because Jesus came to give us life to the full. He wants something more for you. And so today, I want something more for you. I want you to walk away knowing that you are an example, that you get to follow somebody's example, and not just to sit back and be lazy or casual or comfortable in your faith, but to pursue God with all that you are. Why? Because he has life to the full waiting for you in him. That's what's in store today. So I want you to take a minute right now, just as we did with the last question. With this question, we're gonna write down a name. Who is imitating you? Maybe you're like, I don't know who's imitating me. If you spend a lot of time with them, they're imitating you in some way. So write down a name. Who is imitating you? Then once you've written down the name of somebody who's imitating you, I want you to answer this question. What is God asking you to do or quit to be a great example to them? What is God asking you to do or to quit to be a great example to that person who's imitating you? Friends, this vision, I wanna finish where we started, this vision of 10,000 people going from lost to found to followers in the next 10 years. Those 10,000 people are gonna need people to imitate. And who are they gonna imitate? Us right here. They're gonna look to the ones who are present today to say, hey, how do I follow Jesus? What does it mean? How do I get through this hardship? How do I follow Jesus even when it's painful? How do I follow Jesus? And who are they gonna look to? They're gonna look to you and to me. They're gonna need people to imitate, which is why I'm setting you up ahead of time so that you could say, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm not perfect, but I'm heading in the right direction. That's what it takes to fulfill this vision, is for each and every one of us to say, follow me as I follow Christ. So I want you to get comfortable with being uncomfortable with saying that phrase, follow me as I follow Christ. Because when we imitate those who are imitating others and they imitate us as we imitate those who are imitating Christ, that's a lot of imitation, isn't it? That's where we experience life to the full. It's not perfect. We still have problems, but it's life to the full because it's life with him. And friends, I believe there are people here today who have not received life to the full. They've not received the promise that Jesus gives. When you believe in him, you get eternal life, not just life into eternity, but a quality of life that starts now because you're living with him. And in a moment, I want to give you an opportunity, if that's you, to say yes to Jesus, to commit to following Jesus with the rest of your life, committing your life to him in just a moment. You know, if that's you, if you're like, man, I think I want to make this decision. You're on the precipice of saying, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe that he rose again so I could live a new life. And I'm going to commit my life to him. He's going to be my Lord. That's the decision that you're on the fore edge of making. And if that's you, I just want to prep you for how that decision is going to come about. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to make that decision by raising your hand. And all of us are going to have our heads up and our eyes open because we want to celebrate with you. And did you know that this is the safest place to decide to follow Jesus? Like there's no judgment here. There's just celebration here. There's prayer here. So if that's you and you're going to make that decision, we're going to look, we're going to celebrate because we are pumped for you because you're joining the family of God. But before we get there, you can keep your heads up, your eyes open. I want to pray for those people who are going to make this decision. So right now, Heavenly Father, would you move in the hearts of those who are going to give their lives to you? Would you gently draw them into your presence now, teaching them they can trust you with all that they are? Draw them to you now to make this decision. In Jesus' name, amen. With eyes open and heads up, because we're a family and we want to celebrate you. If you are making a decision to give your life to Jesus for the first time today, would you raise your hand and look at me so that I can pray for you and we can celebrate you? I see you right there. Thank you for making that decision. Other hands, would you raise them up if you're making that decision? I see you right there and you there and you there and you there. Thank you for making that decision. Keep those hands high so I can see you. We want to celebrate you if you're making that decision. Yeah, amazing. Amazing. Yep, I see you over there. Thank you for making that decision. Amazing. Don't let me miss you. Wave at me if I'm missing you. I don't want to miss you. I see you right there. Thank you for making that decision. Best decision of your life, friend. I see you over there. Thank you for making that decision. I see you too right there. Thank you for making that decision. Best decisions of your life, friends. I see you right there. Thank you for making that decision. Amazing. Amazing. Heavenly Father, right now we thank you for every person who just committed their life to Jesus in front of these people here, becoming part of the family of God. Lord, I pray that you would protect them, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, that you would direct them in your ways, and that you, God, would show them your love and your glory, that they would be captivated with you, with all that they are. God, I pray that we, each and every one of us, would be an example to those who have yet to come. That each and every one of us would follow someone who is following Christ. And that because of that, God, we would grow closer together as we grow closer to you. We thank you for new life and we thank you for today. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.